back to Ping. This is episode 160. That's right, 16 times 10, 160 weeks of Paul and I usually bringing you the hottest stories that Microsoft is buzzing about. We do this every week. It is our pleasure. It is our gift to you. And last week, I noticed in our comments that people, you know, while they value what we have to say, because clearly that's the meat of the episode, they seemed a little bit more focused, Paul, on you and your wine collection, your random placement of the Channel 9 guy, and the secret word, Mythly, written across what appears to be a whiteboard in your kitchen. Have you placed any sort of fun stuff for the viewers to find? I can't see Paul right now.
Yeah, so the viewers can have all sorts of Easter eggs that they can find. There may be some different things arranged around the apartment, the studio, where you can like decode them in binary, or possibly, you know, just play find the nine guy, as I think it was Adam Spate 2008 had said that he was. In case you get bored during the show, you can at least have other fun things to do.
Right.
Like identify the oddities.
Right.
In my
I'm going to have to start placing stuff around the studio as well. Or maybe I'll wear like fun shirts. Like, you know, on the cover of every issue of Playboy, I don't know how I know this, but on the cover of every issue of Playboy, there's hidden a Playboy bunny, either in like the jewelry on the girl, or you know, somehow carved into her feathers or something like that. So you know, this is something fun that Playboy gives to us, and so we're basically, you know, following that great example set by Hugh Hefner.
Is that the fun thing that Playboy gives to us? Okay, I was always confused.
I've never looked past the cover, so that's all I know. Don't know what's inside those pages.
These really fun things, maybe we'll be able to get Kyle's request where he says that he wants Channel 9 on Xbox 360. Now, there are some Channel 9 shows that make it to Xbox 360, right? Like your, Hot Apps?
Hot Apps was on. It sadly is no longer because they're sort of revamping the workings of Inside Xbox. You know, they had shut that down. And so while they figure out what they're doing over there, Hot Apps is on hiatus over there, but you can always get it right here on Channel 9. The other thing that people wanted to talk about was, of course, the word Mythly, which you had written on your whiteboard, which, of course, every kitchen needs a whiteboard.
Right. Of course. Well, when you live in a one huge room, everything is in the same room. So kitchen, bedroom, whiteboards.
Can you talk about Mythly? Because I know what it is, of course, because I'm on the in, but I went
course.
And did a search for it on Bing, and nothing comes up. So
yeah,
what can you tell people about Mythly?
Yeah, so Mythly is the company that my friend and I have founded, and we're a bit incognito right now as we figure out what we're the best at. We're definitely playing in some different tablet spaces, trying to revitalize and build some really cool immersive advertising and engaging experiences, ranging anywhere from highly immersive HTML5 ads to augmented reality to just building content stores across all these different tablet ecosystems. So we're going to be incognito for a bit longer, and once we have something cool to share, we'll show it right here on Channel 9.
Sounds good. And now, how did you come up with the name Mythly?
Yes, yeah, so that's a great question. We had been working on a bunch of projects in the side for a while, and a lot of people that we were engaging with wanted to know us by some type of company name versus just, you know, the small team. So We kept coming up with different names, none of which were all that great. And then we like literally sat down for about 2 or 3 hours and talked about, you know, what does our brand mean? What are the types of things that we want to do? And we also wanted to get the domain name for it. So we ultimately landed on Mythly, because we could get mythly.com, and we thought that since we are doing a lot of storytelling experiences and trying to do that, the myth was in there, but then we couldn't get myth.com, so we added a Lee, since a lot of startups are doing that, but maybe we're a couple of years late to the adding L-Y to a name, but it doesn't really matter what our name is, so long as we can produce cool stuff, and then the name will
start to stick. Yeah, no, I like the name, and as someone who's named a lot of things in my lifetime, be it, you know, pets or various shows and programming. A name is really critical because it should be, you know, it should be telling of what you represent and what you do, and really hard to come up with. So I actually think you did a great job. I like the name Mythly. I think it's catchy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not Ping. Ping is obviously the best name ever, but Mythly is good. Close second.
Right, and highly unique. Yeah, we're also experimenting with, like, getting different suffixes on there, whether it's Mythly Studios, which is what we like right now, or whether it'll be, like, Mythly Labs or Mythly Incorporated.
I always like to incorporate the word project, like the Mythly project. Just throwing that out there. You can have that for you.
Oh, right, great.
Okay. All right, Paul, so obviously one of the biggest pieces of news to come out of the mothership here, Campus Microsoft, is the fact that Steven Sinofsky has decided to part ways with Microsoft and start a new adventure in his life. And there, Steven Sinofsky, for those who don't know, obviously head up Windows 8 and brought that to us, and he's had many, many successes in his history at Microsoft before that, and it has sort of led people, as they always do, to speculate as to why this happened, what it means for Microsoft. And there's a lot of sort of misinformation out there. And I can talk to exactly the words and the emails that were sent from Sinofsky and to what his states is fact. And obviously, I think that's what we should believe. And what have you been sort of hearing about this headline?
Well, there's all sorts of rumors that are going on out there. This is a huge deal. Anytime an exec leaves a company as big and prominent as Microsoft, there's going to be a lot of buzz and speculation about it, especially when it's announced so suddenly. It's not like this was an announced transition that was going to happen over multiple years. Like, for example, when Gates left and, you know, Ballmer, you know, really, really took the reins of the company, it was a multi-year transition. They had brought in Ray Ozzie to help fill some of the technical background that Gates would bring to the table more so than Ballmer. And with this being such a quick announcement that seemingly came out of nowhere, like, a lot of people just want to speculate and, you know, have the rumor mill going that, you know, any number of things could have happened. And it's hard to figure out. Like, the stock price for Microsoft has dropped about 10% in the last week, and that's kind of a big deal. So I think the market's definitely surprised, but Ballmer's going out there now and you know, telling the Microsoft story as he does, and thanking Sinofsky for his contributions, and saying that you know, Julie Larson Green is coming on and will help bring hopefully stronger collaboration across the different units inside Microsoft.
Right. I mean, to me, it makes sense. You know, if he was looking to move on, maybe start his own business or take a break or whatever it is that he's looking to do, now would be the perfect time to do that. Like, you've just finished off a massive undertaking with the launching of Windows 8 and the Surface, you know, and so he completed his big project. Like, I mean, it's like when I go to take a vacation, let's break it down to a small scale. When I want to take a vacation at work, I do it after I've finished, like, a big event or a big, you know, some project that I've been working on. Now's a good time because you're sort of got everything tied up and you can walk away for a little bit. So to me, it's ludicrous that people are speculating, oh, it's because, you know, sales of Windows 8 or his poor performance. To me, it's just he did everything he came to do. He finished what he had to do. And obviously this is something he's been planning for a while. And now is a good time for him to walk away.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think that's a bit of a difficult thing to believe. It's a really hard thing when someone is, you know, that powerful and well respected, as well as, like, equally well hated probably inside the company. He was a very top down type of guy where it was his way or the highway. And he did a phenomenal job inside of his own orgs, like, helping people get on the same vision and staying in line. But some of his critiques are that there are other areas inside Microsoft, namely anyone outside of his personal org structure, where it'd be very, very difficult to work with him because he wouldn't want to take bets on any other teams that he didn't control, and that he basically reintroduced this whole functional model across Microsoft, because he was very successful in driving products in a very date-driven, quality-driven fashion, maybe not necessarily having the strongest innovations, but the consistency of success that he had on a large scale started trickling throughout Microsoft, and you've seen over the last few years, at least internally, how that has affected pretty much all of the technical teams. It's just a big shock to me. And you know, I was personally, you know, fond of the things that he could accomplish, but there were definitely some problems left in his wake, and hopefully we'll find out what the real reasons are, or we can see where he's headed over the next few months.
Yeah. So we'll be tracking that story, and as information comes in, we'll let it out to you. But in the meantime, best of luck to Steven Sinofsky and of course to Julie Larson Green. Let's see what she should see what she can do. And in birthday celebrations, you know, we've got coming up in the month of December, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Happy birthday!
But right before that, we've got the birthday of Xbox Live. Xbox Live is 10. It feels like it's been around forever. It's hard for me to imagine not being a member of Xbox Live. But apparently it's been a very fast and fabulous 10 years. So happy birthday.
Yes, it has.
And in honor of that 10 years, they're giving away a bunch of really yummy, delicious items, such as a customized Xbox 360. They're giving away a bunch of year-long live Xbox Live subscriptions. I think there might be a few other little trinkets, some games and stuff that they're dangling out there. And Major Nelson, Larry Herb, has announced this all via his Twitter account and his blog, so you can follow up there on exactly the details. But all of this is offered to you just for being a fan and a member of Xbox Live, which is awesome.
Yeah. Now, it's not given to everybody in Xbox Live, because there's about 40 million people that are out there, but the people that have been there since the very beginning with the same Xbox Live avatar, yeah, their gamer tag. Yeah, excuse me. I, for some reason, couldn't remember the term for that, even though, you know, I've had DJ COD for quite some time. Maybe I'm just personally upset that I've had mine for, like, 6 years, and I don't get one of these awesome Xboxes. But there's...
I don't know about that, because I saw the headline for one article that said, Xbox Live is rewarding their long-time members. But then I went and did further investigation, Paul, because that's what I do. And I went to, like, the details page and the rules, and I couldn't find anything that specifically said you needed to be a member for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I haven't seen any official rules that say anything like that either. However, when I see all these posts that make it really high up in gaming forums or on the front page of Reddit, and people are saying, oh, yeah, I've been a member for 10 years, and check out this awesome gift that I got, and then there are all these people on the forums that think this is the coolest thing ever, but then they're also making jokes like, oh yeah, that's exactly what somebody needs after being a member of Xbox Live for 10 years is another Xbox.
It is! It absolutely is! I think these people should be rewarded. These are long-time... it's just like if you're a member of the Justin Bieber fan club, you get special privileges that those not a member don't get access to. So these people who have
been... Like having puberty in the future?
You know, all sorts of good things like that. So I'm just saying, I think that those longtime subscribers should be rewarded in some way. Although I still am unsure if that's clear in the rules, because all it says in the rules that I've been able to find is to just upload your avatar and your gaming tag, and you are submitted to the contest with an entry to win. So there may be some misconceptions there. It may be open to everybody.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, there may be additional people that can win from, like, a raffle point of view, but from an incentive point of view, from earning an achievement, if you will, this is probably the people that have already received Xboxes have probably been... part of Xbox Live for a decade, and there may be more to come.
Right. Well, anyway, I think it's great news, and happy birthday to Xbox Live. And just head on over to the link that we posted here for more rules about entry. And if you happen to be one of the Fortune members to receive one of these custom designs Xbox 360s, please send us a pic, because I want to see what it looks like. All right. All right, Paul, one of the things that we like to talk about repeatedly, it seems, is our ad campaigns and the quality and whether or not they're up to snuff and if they're effective and blah, 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 blah. And I think we finally nailed it on the head with some new Windows Phone ads that are hitting the market and social media networks and television. And they've essentially gone and grabbed some really A-list celebrities and having them promote how they use their Windows Phone and that they use a Windows Phone and, you know, that you too should be using a Windows Phone. I mean, this is so simple. Why haven't we done this before?
I know. I'm Will. And this is the Nokia Lumia 920 from AT&T. It's got live tile, so all my stuff's always right there in real time. It's like the ultimate personal assistant.
I'm Gwen, and this is my Windows Phone.
If Gwen Stefani is using a Windows Phone, then I clearly need to be using one as well. It makes perfect sense to me.
I think these ads are bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
No, you don't. You just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even watch the Gwen Stefani ad. I don't think she really speaks to me and my generation. I did, however, get to meet Jessica Alba.
She's your generation.
What's
Gwen
that?
Stefani. She's hot. She's content. She's current. Like, how does she not speak to your generation? She's exactly what your generation should be talking to.
Yeah, I guess maybe demographic is a better statement, more so than generation. She needs to speak to the basically cave-dwelling late-night programmers, which is what I've tried to become over the last couple of months.
But we're trying to hit the masses. They've got a bunch of other A-list celebrities on board, and then they've got, you know, some football stars. I think they said Cam Newton, which is an interesting choice for a quarterback because he's not the most
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Recognizable face out there. Obviously, Mark Sanchez would have been the choice.
Right,
you know?
Of course. Yeah, the Jets.
But Cam Newton still getting the football fans excited. I think it's a great... it's a great plan, and one of the things that I found interesting in the article where it says sort of the motivation why they're doing this is because people need to see people they know and love and or respect using the phone before they themselves will be willing to make that jump. And while I find this is probably true, it just says something really terrible about humans on the whole, that we are just sheep who just won't do it on our own unless we see, you know, our leader doing it before us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is nothing new at all. There's a, you know, multi-hundred billion dollar advertising industry that is spending billions and billions and billions every year on celebrity endorsements and product placement. It's like there are so many things that people are trying to do now to get in front of the masses, and to do so in exploiting the reputation and the clout that celebrities have, or to find clever ways like putting little little styrofoam figures in the background that promote a certain network. Now, like, the ads don't necessarily speak to me, but the numbers do, and it looks like there's been about 139% jump in the quarterly share of Microsoft's phone shipments from this quarter last year. So even though it's still pretty small, I think it's at, the article says 2.4% of the quarterly shipments, which is about 4 million Windows phones. That's definitely a marked improvement over last year. So hopefully Windows Phone 8, now that the Lumia is available and the HTC models are coming out there, hopefully over the next few months with the holiday season, we can see millions and millions of more devices out there, so I can start building some Windows Phone apps and have a nice, large, global user base.
Yeah, I mean, if it's good enough for Gwen Stefani, I mean...
Right, then it's probably good enough for me.
Ship it! All right, Paul, one of the last story I want to talk about is just a quick story about a new really hot app that is available for Windows 8 and Windows RT. And this is the Barnes & Noble app called Nook. And essentially, you know, it's an e-reader, and it's got, when you turn the pages, it simulates, you know, actual paper turning. And it's a really great e-reader. And, you know, I happen to know some of the folks who may have worked on the app. So I can guarantee this is quality stuff.
Nice. Yeah. This definitely seems like the hot type of thing to do today with the skeuomorphic design. That's what the hyper-realistic digital world trying to, you know,
what the Mythly like might be doing, maybe, huh?
Yeah.
No, we actually partnered with a local art dealer down here and made an app that does some very similar stuff, not necessarily with written words, but with very beautiful pictures. Maybe someday we'll talk more detailed about that. But this is definitely interesting because Microsoft invested like $300 million into Barnes & Noble, and they spun out this separate entity that focuses on the Nook. And while it's nice that this app is available for Windows 8 and Windows RT, I think that this is probably just a drop in the bucket for what is to be expected from such a heavy investment.
Like absolutely. I mean, Barnes & Noble is obviously a heavy hitter, and Microsoft...
Yeah. So I imagine the $300 million will come with more than just an app and a bunch of great content to read. So hopefully we'll see some new Windows 8 form factors and different tablets or some other interesting things coming from Nook over the coming years.
Awesome. Well, keep a lookout for it. Barnes & Noble. All right, everybody, that's a wrap for this week. I will be on vacation next week, as it will be Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving. Spend it.
Yeah, and I'll be in Seattle.
Seattle. So if Paul wants to come and shoot, Paul is more than welcome to come and shoot.
Oh, snap.
And bring some other sort of person in with him, either virtually or in actual human form. However you want to do that. But
how about we do a call when you're down in... on vacation and I'm in the studio. How amazing would that be?
We could do that. We could totally do that. I gotta get like the video camera and all the doohickeys
and the thingamajigs.
We'll talk. But in the meantime, follow me on Twitter @Elfoy
@Paul Nest.
We'll see you later. Have Thanksgiving.